Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, friends, I am back, and I hope that you are still excited to keep talking about intimacy with God. I hope you've listened to the first half of this episode to hear about how God has been stirring up inside me an urgency and a desire to experience greater and greater levels of intimacy with God in 2024, because our God is infinite and unsearchable, and there's always more of Him to experience. And He certainly wants it, and we would never, ever want intimacy with Him more than He wants with us. And I have 7 pieces of biblical evidence to convince you God wants a close, intimate relationship with you. And I hope it will just spur you on to pursue that this year with great expectation. We talked in the last episode about how, first of all, the whole storyline of the Bible is based on God coming after people, talking to people, rescuing people, and that we are the only ones on the earth who get to have this kind of relationship with the living God that listens to us and rescues us. Number 2, our God is a relational God. He's a triune God, and He goes to great lengths to describe all these different facets of our relationship with Him as our perfect Heavenly Father, as our groom who comes after us, pursues us, and is jealous for all of our hearts and wants intimacy with us, as our master that we wholeheartedly obey and worship, and as our friend, that Jesus humbles Himself and calls us His friend and shares His heart with us. And then we talked about number 3, that we have God's Spirit living inside us, and He allows us to experience His presence, and we can continue every day to search out more and more of who God is and be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to jump back in onto number 4 today, that along with God's Spirit being inside us, number 4, God communicates with us through a very special and supernatural book. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What does it mean that God's Word is living and active? A book is an inanimate object. It's not living. It doesn't have life. It's completely dead and inactive. The only way a book could have life or activity is for it to be supernatural. And the Bible is a supernatural book. Imagine a movie about magic, and there's usually a book that is full of magic spells. And that book might even open or flutter its pages a bit on its own, or glitter might just come out of it when it's opened. And if someone is to read out loud the words of that magic book, then it has a special power and it makes things happen. And the Bible is the most powerful book in the world. I was sharing with a young lady yesterday at a salon. She was doing my nails. This is girls week for us. So we went to the salon and she was stuck with me for an hour. So she got to hear about Jesus, and it was the first time she'd ever heard the gospel in her whole life. She had seen crosses. She'd seen Catholic churches in our city, but she had no idea what a cross symbolized. And so I shared with her all about who Jesus is and how He died for us and loves us. At the end of our conversation, I challenged her to just try reading the Bible and explain to her what the Bible is. And she said, oh no, we have our own Bible, the Bhagavad Gita. And she said, every people group has their own Bible. And I told her, no, the Bible is completely different from the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran. That when she reads the Bible, she will feel like God is speaking directly to her, and she'll feel something special in her heart that no other book can do. And the Bible is not just for Americans, it's for every language and people group on the planet. And we Christians, we grew up with the Bible, we have Bibles all over our house, and we get so used to it and we forget it is a supernatural, powerful book We have such a treasure in God's word. It is living. It's still living. It's still powerful. It's active. It speaks to people. It does things. It's effective. When you read the word, do you expect anything? When we combine the Holy Spirit's filling, we're filled with the Spirit. When we read his word, God helps us experience his presence and to hear his voice to us through the word. The Spirit plus the word is the perfect formula to experience God's presence. And as we just read it day after day, God will make certain verses feel personal and alive to us. And we'll feel like that was God's special message to me today in my life for what I'm facing. And yes, it is a love letter written thousands of years ago to all of God's people. Each of us can experience it as personal and relevant to our lives. So when you read the Bible, read it expectantly and read it as a love letter written to you from your Father, your perfect Heavenly Father, your husband who's jealous for your love, your master who deserves and is worthy and demands all of your reverence and worship and obedience, and your friend who shares his heart with you. Along with having this supernatural book as God's way of communicating with us, number five, in the Bible, we find so many examples of God communicating with his people in clear, powerful, and unique ways. Many examples of people experiencing God's presence and power. God wants us to know and see all of these examples so that we can expect similar things in our relationship with God. We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and saved us. Why should anyone in the Bible be able to experience more of God than we have? Just quickly, I will point out two examples from the Old Testament that inspire me to keep asking for more and more of God. Moses. So many examples of God speaking to Moses and Moses speaking to God. God gave Moses regular instructions as Moses led God's people. And in Exodus 33 and 34, we really see a climax of God's relationship with Moses. In Exodus 33, Moses describes how he would pitch the tent of meeting outside the camp, and that's where he would meet with the Lord. And when Moses went inside the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and it would stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And the Bible says, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Wow, I want that. A few verses later, Moses tells God, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. And Moses told God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. And then Moses asked God to show him his glory. And God made all of his goodness and glory pass before Moses. Moses already had this intimate relationship with God where he spoke to God face to face. And he then still asked for God to reveal more of himself to Moses. And he told God he didn't want to go anywhere without him. He depended daily on God's presence and instructions. In the next chapter, we get even more about Moses' relationship with God. Now, it wasn't always fun and games. He was on top of Mount Sinai in darkness and a big storm and spent 40 days fasting and writing out the Ten Commandments. But when he came down, the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And he had to put a veil over his face. And when he went in before the Lord to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil. Again, he had that face-to-face relationship, nothing between him and God. But when he came out and told the people what God had commanded him, his face would be shining, so much so that he would put a veil over it again. Moses experienced God's presence so powerfully that his face was radiant, face-to-face, as a man speaks to his friend. That is Moses' relationship with God. The other one I'll just point out is David. David was called A Man After God's Own Heart by God, and he wrote a large portion of the Psalms, which just includes so much evidence of David's close relationship with God that was really characterized by love and trust. I'm just going to flip my Bible open to Psalms 31 through 34. Just in this section of the Psalms, there's so many examples of how David would write about his love relationship with God in particularly experiential ways. And David constantly was singing about God's steadfast love and faithfulness, about crying out to God and God answering him. Just a few examples from these few chapters in Psalm 31. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. In chapter 32, David wrote, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. God surrounded David. In the next chapter, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. God's eye being upon us. And let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us. And then in chapter 34, David wrote, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps or surrounds those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, who flees to him. God somehow can give us this experience of him surrounding us with his love, with his presence. Now, I know I'm not Moses or David, and I know these men fulfilled key roles in God's redemptive history, and they must have had very special ways that God spoke to them because they got to actually write part of the Bible. However, I believe these examples are there for us by faith to strive to experience similar intimacy with God in our lives. I believe they should inspire us. God may not speak to me out of a burning bush, but I have the Holy Spirit. I have God's word. Can't I expect similar intimacy with God as Moses and David? David said our faces would also be radiant. Not only Moses gets the radiant face, and Jesus said that Moses isn't the only one who was Jesus's friend. He calls us friend. We too, like David, can cry out to the Lord and somehow know he's hearing me. We too can feel God surrounding us with his love. We too can hear his voice in special ways. And I believe we can experience intimacy with the Lord in all kinds of different ways. It can happen when we're praying and worshiping alone, when we're worshiping corporately, when we just hear God speak truth and love to us and just flood us with his presence. It can happen when we're up out and about in our day and we know God is telling us to share the gospel with someone, or he's given us a particular word to share with someone. The Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor. The Holy Spirit gives us guidance. He gives us promptings in big and small ways. Have you experienced that? I'm sure many of you can think of times when God spoke to you in a special way, or when you felt his presence in an unforgettable way. I just, as I was preparing for this, jotted down a list of times that I've heard God's voice in a special way that I've never forgotten. And don't you think he wants to do that more often? That there isn't a limit on that? That we don't just get that a few times a year? I think those are just tastes of his presence, and there's so much more to experience, both in frequency and in power. I want to read about Moses, about David, about all these people in the Bible and think they've got nothing on us. We can have great expectations of an intimate relationship with God like they had. And we can daily, even in the mundane, wherever we're at, whether we're taking care of babies or going to the office or preaching the gospel to people who've never heard it, we can experience God's presence and power in surprising and powerful ways that will expand the kingdom and impact eternity. So we have the supernatural, magical book, the Bible. We have the Spirit, and we have a Bible full of examples of God communicating with his people and them feeling and being sure of his presence. And number six, very simply, God proved his love and desire for a relationship with us on the cross. What more does he have to do? What more proof do we need? Isn't that enough evidence for us to believe him? And if we aren't sure that God wants intimacy with us, then the root of that is probably a lack of assurance in his love for us. It probably means you are still shirking his love. You're still resisting it. But the Bible says that God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Hebrews 10 tells us what our application of that should be in our relationship with God. God himself tells us, have confidence to enter the holy place, the nearest place to God, the Holy of Holies. You enter into God's presence with confidence. It says to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you see the connection here between we know in all truth we have full assurance that our hearts are sprinkled clean and our bodies are washed with pure water? We have to be rid of the shame in order to draw near to God with confidence. That's what he wants. He says that he wants our hearts to have full assurance of his desire for us. Shame will always keep us at a distance and covered up. It will keep us from fully receiving his love and drawing near to him. But you can be sure, no matter your situation, your background, your sin, your struggles, God is always telling you, draw near to me. He proved it on the cross. If someone ran out onto the street to save me from a bus coming at me and that person died for me, I would think I would believe that that person really loves me. And God, Jesus, has done so much more for us. We should not hesitate to believe his love for us. He proved it on the cross. And lastly, number seven, God in his word consistently applauds those who desire more of him. For those who thirst and hunger for him and his word. Matthew 5, 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. John records in John 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he quoted Moses and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God wants us to live in such regular connection and intimacy and receiving from him on a daily basis that it's similar to our rhythms of drinking and eating. He wants us to depend on meeting with him, to say like Moses did, Lord, if you aren't going with me today, I'm not going anywhere. He wants us to crave and long for his voice and presence. And when we feel spiritually hungry, our hearts and minds are in a position to receive from him. The psalm says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. The Bible also, along with hungering and thirsting for God, it talks about sometimes we have to wait on God. Sometimes we have to spend time with God and be willing to wait for him to speak to us. It doesn't always happen instantly, but he does promise if we draw near to him and we wait, he will also draw near to us. Are you convinced? The seven pieces of biblical evidence that I just picked out of the Bible, okay, this month. Number one, the Bible from cover to cover is about God coming after his people. You're a part of that story. Number two, God is a relational God. He's our Father, husband, master, friend, jealous, intimate, loving, and only he can satisfy us. Number three, we have God's Spirit inside us. He lives in us. We are in him, and he loves to give us fresh fillings of his Spirit and assure us of his presence. Number four, we have God's amazing, powerful, supernatural book that is living and active. It's still doing things. It still changes hearts. It still meets us where we're at in our day-to-day lives. Number five, the Bible is full of examples of people experiencing intimacy with God in all kinds of ways, and we can too. Number six, God proved his love for us and his desire for intimacy with us on the cross, and we don't need any more proof than that. And number seven, God consistently applauds those who want more of him. Are you convinced? I hope so. I pray that you will make intimacy with Jesus your number one priority in 2024. How do we do it? We give him our time. We believe that he loves us and he wants us. Pursue his presence personally, privately, but also corporately with others. I have noticed that many of God's promises in the Word are given to his people as a whole. Just like our Heavenly Father loves each of his children individually, he also has a special joy when all of his kids are in his living room together. Our lives with God are meant to be lived in his family. None of us are an only child. And God does give us a special promise of his Spirit being with us when we gather in his name. So pursue God's presence corporately, pursue it privately, listen for his voice, ask him to over and over fill you with his Spirit. Expect the word to come alive as you read it. Be willing to wait on him. Remember the cross as his proof of his love for you and obey his commands and his promptings in your daily life. Most of us are living very busy lives. Most of us feel like we regularly have more to do than we have time for, and that will probably never go away. My to-do list will never end. My compulsion to complete it will never run out. I think the solution is to just want God more than anything else. My desire for God has to be greater than my desire for everything else, for work, for all the distractions that keep me from spending time with him. There are countless good things that we can be busy with, important things. But let's not be like Martha. Let's be more like Mary and choose the one thing necessary, time at Jesus' feet. And as I get older, I do not want to waste any more of my days forgetting about God or getting busy and living independently of God. Even a good day with people or just doing my routine and my own self-sufficiency, it's nothing compared to a day when I experience God's presence and hear his voice and feel close to him. Better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And there is more to him, of him to experience. There are higher heights. There are deeper depths. His greatness is unsearchable. And I pray that 2024 for you is marked by greater intimacy with Jesus.